Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. This is the Progressive Commentary Hour. Continuing with our series on the hidden hands, this is a look at the shadow government from the perspective of a former senior CIA official, the WikiLeaks dump of CIA documents, and Trump's battle against the CIA and the intelligence agencies. Sharing the forum today is Kevin Shipp, S-H-I-P-P. He is a former CIA officer who, for 17 years, specialized in counterintelligence, counterterrorism overseas, and espionage investigators searching for moles within the CIA. During the Iran-Contra scandal, Kevin was a protected agent of the CIA director. He received outstanding meritorious citations, 3 exceptional performance awards, and a medal for his services in high-risk operations. Kevin left the agency after his family was exposed to toxic substances during an assignment that led to serious illness and threats by the agency and harassment. Kevin holds a master's degree in forensic psychophysiology and is the author of From the Company of Shadows, which is a first-hand account of how the CIA conducts operations and the agency's abuse of secrecy and its privileges of operating outside the rule of constitutional and international law. Nice to have you with us today, Kevin.
Good to be with you, Gary. Thanks for having me.
When you were on the program last, you defined the shadow government, or the deep state, as a matrix of various independent entities that work in unison with each other. These include Wall Street and private multinational corporations, the Pentagon, and the private military-industrial complex, the various intelligence agencies, including the CIA and the National Security Agency, the State Department, the media, and even Silicon Valley. And this network of relationships operates outside of the statutes of the Constitution and Congress. I'd like to refer listeners to last Tuesday's noon broadcast in the archives and so they can follow up on this. But for now, just take your time and elaborate further on what I just said and how the listener can better understand what is being referred to as the shadow government during our conversation. So give us your insight into how this matrix works. And one final thought. Every day, people's primary interest is in the quality of their life. We all have jobs, or we're searching for jobs, or there are not enough jobs, and the jobs that we want, we can't find. But almost the vast majority of people each day, at least 270 million Americans, plus people in other countries, they just try to make it through a day. Most people don't have large savings. Most people literally could not go more than 2 weeks without an income before they would really be in trouble. You're looking at almost 17 million hungry children each day going to bed, nutritionally delinquent. They're not getting their food. They don't have it. And these are the people who have no spotlight on them. They're given no attention. You have nearly 50 million Americans on food stamps. You had 28 million Americans taken out of their homes. 7 million homes were foreclosed on, and they had to find other places to live. No information on them, no help whatsoever from anyone. And on top of that, we don't assume that the government is there to consider us a problem. After all, we have our problems. But now we find out that every single communication that we have had, every photograph we've sent or received, every email, the total conversation, not just the point of who made the call and what time, what number, but the actual content, has been captured and stored. Now they want to make it even more draconian. There are now smart cities that are being put together with models created by the University of New Mexico with $1 billion that was given to them by the governmental agencies to create a city where you have thousands and thousands of monitoring devices, where you walk down the street and your retina will be scanned without you knowing it, where every single conversation will be heard because there'll be microphones and cameras and every street post, light post, that there'll be no place where you could go without being monitored. And yet we are not discussing this. I don't hear the people on the libertarians, I don't hear the constitutionalists, I don't hear the justice groups talking about this, and yet this is the heart, their freedom to live with no intrusion. We're not talking about terrorists. That's a separate issue. We're not talking about organized crime. That's a separate issue. We're talking about innocent, honest, decent Americans who the government now, in my view, is looking at them as potential domestic troublemakers, and hence labeling them domestic terrorists with no crimes committed. Asset forfeiture, where the government is taking $3 to $4 billion a year from people who have committed no crime. They haven't even been given a ticket. Their assets, cars, homes, cash have been stolen. Everything in their bank accounts taken. And then we're told, well, go and fight it in court. And who has the resources to do that when you're already poor to begin with? So I'm looking at debtors' prisons. I'm looking at predatory lenders charging with payday loans as much as 1,000% if you don't pay it back in a timely way. You have to refinance it. I'm looking at an entire system that is in collapse. And I believe that there have been people fully aware of all of our travails and doing nothing to help us but compounding the problem by making us feel as if we're criminals without ever having committed a crime. Your thoughts on anything I said? If you feel I've made any overstatements or inaccurate statements, please challenge them.
No, Gary, I think you put that very, very well. We, to kind of put an exclamation point on your excellent points, we see Congress, and of course what we call the shadow government, which of which Congress is influenced and is a part, we see the U.S. and especially Americans in an economic decline, and most of us are living paycheck to paycheck, one small crisis and people go into bankruptcy. So we're seeing an economic decline and people's income going down and depressing, and a lot of people in some serious financial problems. And yet we see the shadow government spending billions of dollars on covert programs like funding the Free Syrian Army Islamicist in Syria. Congress will come before their constituents and they'll say, oh, we're going to help you. We're going to give you these programs, Medicare, Social Security, which we know they robbed, other programs like that. But then they'll turn around and they won't fund those programs. And instead, they will vote for programs like the war in Syria, which has cost 470,000 lives and billions of dollars. So you got to ask yourself, why is Congress doing this? Why are so many Americans in dire economic straits being told a lie, and then Congress and the government turns around and spends billions on these programs? And now we know that basically we all live in an electronic plantation, or as one person described, an electronic concentration camp, where every single thing that we do and say on our cell phones, iPhones, Androids, everything we write on our computers, everything we do on the Internet, Facebook, Google, Yahoo, the text messages that we send are all now surveilled and collected by the ears of the government, the NSA. And now we know with WikiLeaks Vault 7, the CIA has a massive program to do the same thing. So we see this disparity between an American people that are suffering now and a government that just continues to expand its powers and continues to fund itself. And it helps us to remember that the government is doing these things with our tax dollars. They're doing it on the backs of Americans, and they're doing it, especially in the case of the CIA and NSA, they're doing it with secret budgets that Congress and the American people cannot see, and they're taking these billions and they're funding programs that if the American people had a voice in it, they would decry and say absolutely not. So we're seeing a government that is running itself. It's repeatedly lying to the American people. It's doing things behind Congress's back without Congress even knowing about it. It's got this massive secret complex that we talked about, the shadow government, with tens of thousands of installations across the United States, hundreds of thousands of Americans that it has deceptively employed on secret programs. There are hundreds of thousands of Americans bound by the secrecy agreement, cannot talk about what the government is doing. Their careers and their finances and the finances of their family are now dependent on the shadow government, so it controls them completely. And, you know, you don't want to build such a kind of a dark, horrible picture, but that's what's going on. And I think if people are aware of that, they can factor that into the decisions that they make in their personal lives. Because the idea is, for all of us, is to reach a level at least of some sort of contentment or happiness with our friends, our family, our faith, whatever we have. And that needs to be our focus, but we need to understand and be aware that we've got this this government, this shadow government that is out of control, that is connected to globalism. And I really hate to say this, but we are now under a post-constitutional government. It does not function according to the Constitution. It routinely does things, especially the CIA, its central node, routinely does things outside the Constitution, commits felonies within the United States, lies under oath and does all these things and gets away with it, is never prosecuted. Just another indication of its power. So that's kind of sadly the situation that we find ourselves in and that Americans have got to deal with, you know, down at our family and personal levels. And it is quite concerning. And later on, maybe we can discuss some of the things perhaps that need to be done. But we're fighting a monster. This is a gigantic monolith. It's a secret complex that unfortunately people we have not seen because it's been hidden. It's been developed since the late 1940s and has increased its size and scope shockingly until what we have today.
Kevin, there is clearly a war being waged at this moment between the Trump administration and the intelligence agency's deep state. Some might look at that as a good thing. They would argue that it's about time that a president stood up against these secret powers and take them to task. Surely this is a serious failure of all previous presidents, including Obama and Clinton, who are part of this apparatus, or at best, tools used by them. However, it is not true that the Trump and the powers behind him, including Steve Bannon and the extreme right-wing elites, also have designs to create their own shadow government of deception and secrecy and propaganda manipulation to enforce their distorted worldview and the policies upon the public. And then in your estimation, why is the CIA antagonistic towards Trump? Why are they going after him? And also, wouldn't this portend that this would be the first time that a sitting president was, in effect, tried to be ousted by the intelligence community because it's the one that leaked the information to the media with some assurances that they had corroborated and found all these links with Russia and influencing our election, and yet they have not brought forth a single scintilla of hard proof that the Clinton leaked emails came from Russia. In fact, Julian Assange says they did not come from Russia. They came from employees inside the Democratic National Committee, and yet the media doesn't want to touch that part of it. They simply want to continue on and on and on as if invalidate the president because he invalidated the elections by having Russia involved, and this was all because the intelligence agencies said so. So take us through this entire scenario.
Yeah, Gary, all good points. We have basically now what we're seeing is a clash between the elite titans. Donald Trump has said some things that have really concerned us all, there's, you know, raging controversy on both sides of that. What we're seeing, which is highly out of the ordinary, is we're seeing the intelligence community literally go after Donald Trump in what is essentially an information assassination attempt. And the misconception that you're hearing all over talk radio and radio programs is this is an Obama shadow government that he created before he left, and he's planted people in the intelligence community, and that is just a smokescreen. This shadow government and the CIA's activities have been going on since 1948, and they're continuing today. They're not Obama plants. They're the typical operations of the CIA as the central node of the shadow government. It is clear that Trump, with all of his rough edges and the things that people are concerned about, Trump is not a member of the global financial elite. As a matter of fact, he's kind of been ousted by them. He's not a member of the shadow government. And throughout about the last 20 years, he's given several interviews where he's questioned the CIA, he's questioned 9/11, he's questioned the NSA program. And he said outright that if and when he gets into office, he's going to examine some of the actions of the CIA. So the CIA, having seen some of these things personally, is terrified that there's going to be some, not congressional, because Congress is tied into the CIA, and that maybe for a later discussion, but independent investigations that Trump has talked about into the CIA especially, and they have got some serious skeletons in their closet to the point where some people could possibly go to jail. Former CIA NSA Director Michael Hayden with the NSA Domestic Surveillance Program violated the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution. And when I teach criminal justice classes, I remind the class the Constitution is not a nice flowery document or some kind of theme. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land. It trumps the entire criminal justice system legally. So if you violate the Constitution, you've committed a felony. And General Michael Hayden violated the Fourth Amendment, and Dick Cheney, and instituted the NSA surveillance program, which, by the way, was going on before 9/11. So if they use the excuse that the NSA domestic surveillance program was as a result of 9/11, that's just flat out not true. And Dick Cheney and Michael Hayden were the brain children of that. So here, enter Donald Trump, this maverick who doesn't really have the same finesse in public statements as previous presidents. Perhaps that's an understatement. Comes in brash, this brash, bold kind of bull in a china shop, and wants to split the CIA wide open and start doing investigations. Now, not to open up a can of worms, but the only president in previous history that has done that, threatened to come out and expose the CIA, was John F. Kennedy, who said he was going to break the CIA into 1,000 pieces. The CIA was doing things behind his back without telling him. So Trump is the only other president that has not just gone with the shadow government system and the CIA system. He's the only president other than JFK to come out and say, we're going to split this open and investigate it. So we're seeing almost bizarre things happen. The CIA, they planted a fake dossier, as you mentioned, on Trump about connections in Russia, which was a false report. But and John McCain hand-delivered that to the FBI, so he was behind the initiation of all that. We know that John McCain has met with members of Al-Qaeda over in Syria. We know that John McCain was in Ukraine stirring up the coup there. We know John McCain receives millions of dollars from the military-industrial complex in contributions, and he almost is the arch enemy of Donald Trump. So he took this fake report and gave it to the FBI, gave it to the CIA. Amazing. Having been in the CIA and done analysis, you don't publish information unless it's been thoroughly vetted, completely unbiased, double, triple, and quadruple checked, put into a cogent report, and then disseminated. That's the intelligence process. But here, we have John Brennan, the director of the CIA, and James Clapper taking this false dossier report and leaking it to the press, specifically the Washington Post, and then it's published as if it's fact in kind of a, as I mentioned, information assassination attempt on Donald Trump. In my 20 years with the CIA and Department of State, I have never seen anything like that against a president-elect and now a sitting president. So we know that they filed two FISA court requests on Trump. The first was denied. The second was approved. Pretty apparent now that they were tapping into not necessarily Trump Tower, but the servers connected to Trump Tower. The statement has even been issued that the FBI found no evidence of criminal wrongdoing, and that's a quote. And yet they continue to push this narrative that Trump is connected to the Russians. And then what the shadow government has always done, if your listeners go back and look at history, the shadow government has always created an enemy as an excuse for what it's doing. And now the new enemy that the shadow government is attempting to create is Russia and Vladimir Putin as this horrible, and they always say former KGB. Well, I'm former CIA, so, you know, that's kind of a straw man argument. But Vladimir Putin is the next Stalin. He wants to take over the world. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. That's why we went into Syria and started blowing things up. And that's why we trained the Free Syrian Army, and now has morphed into ISIS. And ISIS is using U.S. tanks and weapons and trained personnel, all based on this ogre that they have created of Vladimir Putin. And that's if you just watch how they do it down through history, this is how they've always done it. So they've done that as an excuse to do what they're doing. So keeping with that narrative of the created ogre, it's the Russians that hacked the DNC computers, when we know it was not the Russians. It was an inside leaker that actually handed the information over on a thumb drive to a former British ambassador who has said he would be glad to come out and interview with CNN and other programs, and they refused to talk to him. So it wasn't Russian hacking. And then we know now that they claim some of the servers were hacked by an IP address, Internet Protocol address attributed to Russia. Well, you think and it even had the name of a KGB officer in some of the IP addresses. Do you think Russia is going to leave that kind of fingerprint or footprint if they hack into a system? No. We know from Vault 7, the WikiLeaks recent revelation, the CIA actually has programs to hack into systems and make it look like the Russians did it. So this is absolutely bizarre. We know that they monitored now Attorney General Jeff Sessions before he was even on the team when he was a senator, going back for a year. As I said, I've never seen anything quite like this in an absolute all-out assault on a president based on fallacious information. John Brennan claims that he got information on Trump from some obscure source in the Baltics, that he got an intelligence report from the Baltics that he passed to the FISA court to enable the FISA court to tap into Trump's servers. Well, it turns out that Baltic intelligence is fabricated. And Brennan literally fabricated this report without vetting an analysis, and then used that to go to a FISA court to get a surveillance operation against Donald Trump. Now, since this has all come out, former CIA Director John Brennan, who made the chilling statement on geoengineering, since this has all come out, Brennan is completely silent, hasn't said a thing. I don't think he expected this false intelligence to get out the way it has. So just to answer your question, this is what you're seeing. It is, you know, whatever we think of Donald Trump, he is now the president of the United States and the head of the government and the commander-in-chief of the military, and yet we're looking at essentially a silent coup that's coming from inside the government, specifically the CIA and the NSA, who has also tapped into some congressional conversations. So that's what we're seeing, and I've never seen anything quite like this. It's quite shocking, but humbly, for me, it is not surprising. I've been following the shadow government ever since I came out of the CIA and saw what they did to me after I exposed that vulnerability. It doesn't surprise me that this is happening. This is nothing new for the shadow government. They've been doing this sort of thing and engaging in surveillance and breaking into Senate computers and things for a long time. So this is just the MO of what we're talking about here with the shadow government. And I just want to say again, this is not an Obama plant in the CIA. These are not Obama operatives left behind. This is the typical modus operandi of the shadow government.
I'd like to propose a little different observation that might explain the tensions and suspicions between Trump and the intelligence agencies. You noted that Trump cannot be controlled by the CIA and molded as their pawn like all previous presidents. And I believe in part because they have so much dirt on the previous president, especially Clinton. There's just dump trucks full of dirts on both Clintons. And this is extremely unsettling to the deep state. But could it also be that Trump represents a change in the nation's direction that is a great differentiation from anything we've seen with the shadow government? So when I think of a deep state and its hidden hands, which includes Wall Street and foreign banks and huge multinational corporations and various industries, including the media and IT industry and the military-industrial complex.
Yes.
These are not powers that desire the U.S. to collapse into instability and would give rise to massive popular dissent and rebellion. I regard the shadow government as essentially champions of stability, as every fascist tyranny is, but also determined to have maximum control over the population in order to strive for its larger long-term goals. And in that context, I believe it is to further advance globalization around the planet and to be the world's most powerful policeman. And American government hegemony is its ultimate moniker. But financial and social instability is not in their playbook. On the other hand, when I look at Trump and his cabinet appointees, when I consider his economic plan and how he intends to pay for his grand hallucinations and healthcare debacle that will ruin the lives of tens of millions for no accessible medical care, nothing adds up. Since he entered office, we are witnessing an unraveling of the social fabric and the society, and it's only a matter of time when the economy plummets. I don't believe that there will be just a correction. I believe it will be a full-on depression. Now, he has positioned the United States for not only being the world's largest polluter of greenhouse gases, but also making the nation's toxic waste dump of the developed world. And moreover, Trump is a fervent nationalist and an isolationist. And this, too, is contrary to globalization and multinational capitalism based upon neoliberal free trade. So I have no doubt that, Ken, that many officials high up in the intelligence departments regard Trump as mentally unstable, and understandably so. We can make jokes about his buffoonery, his eighth grade level of grammatical skills, his compulsive obsessive tweeting, his massive narcissism, and his habitual lying to further his narcissistic ego. But these are all characteristics of an unhinged mind who now happens to hold the highest office in the nation. The CIA has known about these kinds of insecure national leaders and what they're capable of for a long time. And that is perhaps more unnerving because it is these unsound leaders who ultimately create massive economic and social insecurity and chaos in the nation, and that is not in the shadow government's playbook. Your thoughts about this analysis, please.
Yes, and as I mentioned in my book, the CIA has an entire intelligence division that is its job is to perform intelligence collection and analysis on foreign leaders and even domestic leaders now. So you can be sure that the CIA has done a full psychological analysis on Donald Trump that may play into part of this. You know, there's so many concerning things going on. Trump has appointed some former Goldman Sachs members onto the team, and Goldman Sachs is tied into globalism more than just about any other corporation. And we're seeing something. You mentioned the economy. We're seeing something that's very, very concerning, is maybe an understatement, coming up in that the Federal Reserve is now saying that they're finally going to raise interest rates. That is combined with we have just hit, our deficit has just hit $20 trillion. The debt ceiling is coming due, and of course, there's no way that the government is going to stay under that debt ceiling. So it's kind of an economic perfect storm going on here, and yet the government continues to spend these billions and billions on overseas programs. So I think you're right, Gary. We're in a situation now where with the presidency against the CIA, the CIA against the presidency, the military-industrial complex, and let me point out that when Eisenhower made his last speech about the military-industrial complex, which was significant, he originally, in his speech, called it the Congressional Military-Industrial Complex, and they talked him into taking the congressional part out. Most people don't know that. But you're right. We are in a really scary time. And yet, as we mentioned earlier, you get down to the level of your average American. We one of the things that really upsets me personally is the health insurance issue, where Americans should have had health insurance decades ago. People have gone bankrupt. People have not been treated for their illnesses because of poor health care. We had Obamacare, which really didn't pan out to be what it was supposed to be. People still didn't have coverage. People's deductibles were up to $10,000 and on and on. But at least they had something. And now Congress is coming out with another health care bill, and once again tied into Congress's penchant for protecting itself and again leaving American people who desperately need health care, families and individuals and mothers single mothers without children and elderly people and on and on and on, leaving them out in the cold again. And the government's constitutional role, its only primary constitutional role, is to take care of the safety and security of the American people, and it is not doing that.
I would agree. We should have had universal health care, as other countries, including Mexico, has. We chose not to because we favored the profit to the insurance industries. They're taking $1 trillion a year for themselves out of a $3.5 trillion budget. The pharmaceutical companies, because of their manipulation of the Medicare Act, are allowed to charge the highest prices imaginable for drugs, and the government cannot negotiate for cheaper generic brands. And they completely eliminate the opportunity for preventing disease. You never see a commercial anywhere where someone says, here's what causes inflammation.
That's right.
And then shows you, and here's what turns off inflammation. Here's the good foods, here's the bad foods. And then allow for the freedom of choice for the average American to decide whether they want to choose a healthy food or unhealthy food. But at least I believe most people have enough common sense and are self-interested enough, especially those who are poor, that they would want to stay healthy and want their children healthy. As a result today, no one, not the Surgeon General, the U.S. Public Health Service, no one is preventing disease in America.
That's right.
And as a result, we're conditioned by television to think the only way you watch a football game is to have beer, burgers, chicken wings, you know, and then when that all gets on you, then you take that the antacid, and then when you're constipated from the antacid, then you take the bowel cleanser, and then when you can't sleep, you got to take the sleeping aid. We are so conditioned. So our body politic has also conditioned us. We keep hearing slogans as if these actually have merit or depth. They do not. They're vacuous. And in that context, I've never heard anyone address this issue. And Kevin, if you would address it, I'd appreciate it.
Gary, you are so right. You know, you go over to European countries, and prevention is their primary focus in many of them. And if the government really was honest about this, if they had prevention programs, they would stave off a lot of disease and save a lot of money on extensive health care and extensive medical procedures, but they don't do that. We know, I hate to say, I have a doctor, I'm trying to get him to come on because he's so cogent on this stuff. The medical profession has become, sadly, a giant knife and pill club. My understanding is they get about 3 hours of nutrition in all of their medical training, and then they get into their practice. They're hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt many times, and they're now behest to the big pharmaceutical companies to push their drugs and to push their medical procedures. And a lot of doctors, there's some very good doctors. This isn't a plug, but I follow a Dr. Mercola on Mercola.com, and he's a really good preventionist, but very few doctors are like that because it's not in their financial interest. And then, as shameful as this is, we now have a national media that does not report on these things. They're owned by six major corporations, at least one of which is a CIA contractor. They have their bulleted talking points, and they are not to touch preventative medicine. They're not to touch all of the horrible things that are going on with current medicine that are unnecessary. They're not to touch any of that, and they don't report on any of that. And a classic example, I gave a talk out in California with some of these doctors, is the vaccination program, where the vaccination program is people are basically commanded to get vaccinations, not to question it. Congress has done nothing, but we have seen a 600% increase in autism, and there are study after study after study that connects autism to vaccinations. CDC has come out again and again and said vaccinations are safe. They just had a whistleblower. He said, we falsified the studies. He feels terrible about it. Why doesn't the CDC openly look at the mercury, at human cells, and other things that are in these vaccines, publish it to the American people, which you should do in a democracy, admit the faults, and then do some research to try to correct it? But they don't. And the doctors keep injecting people. Some infants get 4 injections within just a few weeks of birth. Over and over and over this goes. There's now programs where they are trying to make vaccines mandatory for adults. And I'm not downing vaccines. Vaccines are a wonderful thing against disease, but they're not being made properly. and they're not being researched and developed properly, and the problems are being hidden. So that's just another connection to this problem that we have with the big pharmacy companies, the big corporations that control them, and now they control with lobbyists. They absolutely dictate what the Congress and the Senate does if the Congress and Senate wants money for their reelection. So it is, and here we are again, while the American people suffer, and kids get autism in droves. People get sick, people don't have health insurance, and on and on and on and on. While we spend billions on going in to topple Syria, people at home, because of this system, are in a state of crisis.
I'll add a few thoughts on that, because I've produced three and now I'm finishing my fourth documentary on the politics of vaccines. I've published, along with our scholar in residence, Richard Gale, 43 articles on the lack of science and efficacy and safety behind vaccines, and have led multiple demonstrations and testified under oath on vaccines.
Right.
So something we're very familiar with. But that's also the deep state. You see, and I'll tell you how the deep state works in this regard. For the California legislation to occur, all you had to do is look at where did the money go from the pharmaceutical industry. It went to selected legislators. We got the record, the voting record, and every single person that voted, Democrat or Republican, was irrelevant. If they got money from the vaccine manufacturers, they voted for the mandatory vaccine bill. We then look at the national level, and we find 80 cases that the national agency, the vaccine injury agency, gave for brain damage, including autism. So one agency of government is giving money to parents to take care of their autism vaccine-injured children, and the other agency of government, the CDC, is saying there is no such thing as an autism vaccine connection.
Right.
And then you start looking at how did the vaccine industry get indemnified from ever having to pay any liability or could not be sued? That was a politician. Where did the politician go to work? In the vaccine and pharmaceutical industry, right after that legislation was passed.
That
so
right.
We see that the media covers only one side of the story. They will never invite me or others on who are actually experts in the field, who are scholars, who have published the studies, done the work, to show the proof of it. They'll never have us on. But they'll have people on who have no background in preventative medicine and no background in keeping people healthy and have received tens of millions of dollars from the vaccine companies. And they suddenly are an expert on vaccines and what people should do. And they always denigrate those who bring a warning message. And the media provides that form for those denigrating messages. Well, if you're an average person at home, and you're hearing an expert say vaccines are safe and effective, they've stopped all these major scourges, and anyone who tells you otherwise is just, they're a nut job, they're a quack, don't believe them. You hear that enough times, you're going to believe it. Then when someone does come along that you might be able to read or hear or see something they've done, you're not going to hold the same credit towards it. And that's how the deep state works. No different than saying, we must bail out Wall Street. If we don't bail out Wall Street, the entire world economy will collapse. First of all, that was not true, because Wall Street is insulated from the rest of the world when it comes to its loaning. It gives money to itself. It makes money off money. It does not make money off building new factories or loaning to small businesses in Utah. They don't do that. They make money off derivatives and credit default swaps.
Right.
Exotic and playing against manipulating commodity prices. So
right.
we don't need Wall Street at all. If Goldman Sachs, if the six largest banks, which are holding collectively over $254 trillion in derivatives, if they were to go broke tomorrow, good. We don't need them. We can function in America without that. And if we actually forgave the debt, because remember, we now have the largest $226 trillion to 200. Some say it's 200. Others say it's 144 trillion. There's no exact figure, but let's just go very conservative. Let's say $144 trillion is the world total debt right now. Well, that's larger than the world's gross domestic product, which means that the world is broke. It's bankrupt. America has 1,200% debt to gross domestic product. We're more broke than Greece, except we still can print money. We still have a central bank. We still have a military, and no one will question the fact that we are the emperor with no clothes. So when you look at how they manipulate medicine and food with genetic engineering and energy with nuclear and so-called clean coal and gas hydrofracking, the consequences to the environment, to people's health, is irrelevant to them. So that brings me back to this. Virtually every part of our lives are impacted by the hidden hands of the deep state controlled by the oligarchs and the media used as their platform for manipulation. So then what is it that the CIA and the American intelligence want? What is their final and ultimate interest in all this?
Well, if you go all the way back to 1921 and you examine the creation of the Council on Foreign Relations, and I think it'd be valuable for your listeners to do a little research on the CFR. But if you go all the way back to the creation of the Council on Foreign Relations, which created the CIA and which created the Federal Reserve, their stated goal, including Zbigniew Brzezinski, one of their senior board members, their stated goal was an eventual global world government in the interest of stability, economic stability, and military stability. And that CFR has come all the way up to the creation of the CIA. 16 CIA directors were on the board, including George Bush Sr., several major members of the major news media, members of the CFR. And so the CFR comes all the way up to today. Even Hillary Clinton was involved in the CFR and giving speeches there and things. So all the way back to its roots leading up to its incredible power today, the idea is globalization. And as the old saying goes, just follow the money. And money is the fuel of the shadow government deep state. And I have to give credit to the term deep state is, I think, a very good one. That was originated by Peter Dale Scott in when he wrote his original book. And I think people checking out his lectures would be real beneficial. But this is all based around globalism. We are heading for a digital currency. There is already a digital currency called Special Drawing Rights, or SDRs, which the IMF is using, giving countries digital currency instead of hard currency. The CFR and the CIA, and I put this in my book, have already proposed placing chips in people as a safe, secure method of both citizenship and financial transactions. They haven't been able to pull that off yet because Congress keeps standing in the way of that. But so the root goes back to 1921 in the Council on Foreign Relations, which is extremely powerful today and is behind what we're seeing in terms of this globalism that is overtaking basically the lives of everyone.
I would agree with that, especially I've just finished a major report on the history of the Rockefeller family, and it was David Rockefeller, who's still alive, by the way, I think he's 101 or 102, who founded the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, was, along with Prince Barnard, was one of the founders of Bilderberg.
Right.
They have enormous influence, and he also ran, and the company bank was Chase Manhattan, one of the top six banks today. WikiLeaks released Vault 7, and it revealed the entire CIA cyber warfare program and the magnitude of its capabilities to access all electronic communications and internet devices, smart televisions such as Samsung's models. They can watch you and listen to you, and automobile computers that can control your car. So if you were on their enemy's list, they literally had the power that they could keep you from hitting the brakes and accelerate you to 120 miles an hour, and you would have no control over that car. Many of us believe that was actually a possibility for an investigative journalist who was killed when, for no apparent reason, he took his car up to like 80 miles an hour on a street, and then it crashed. Why would he have been going that fast? And we believe that it's possible that they did that because he was going to be doing an expose on him. In any case, in your estimation, of the 8,000 plus documents released, and they said it was only 1%. So 8,000 is 1%. We got a lot more documents coming. Didn't this lay to rest many of the accusations tossed around about Russia interfering in the U.S. elections and such as favoring Trump and hacking the Democratic National Committee? And finally, speak a little about the relationship that the CIA has with the mainstream media and as a source of fake news, and call out those by name, the media sources that work on behalf or behest of the CIA.
Yes. What has been divulged by WikiLeaks, just this 1%, is shocking, shocking how expansive the CIA's surveillance program is. Basically, they've taken over the NSA for their own operations in this massive surveillance, and I've had a little personal experience with that. When I first came out and wrote From the Company of Shadows and began to expose some of the cover-ups I saw within the CIA, I would check my voicemail on my telephone, and the voicemail had recorded conversations that I was having with people, apparently mistakenly went to my voicemail. This still happens before I go out and speak. My cell phone will turn itself on to the point where my wife and I laugh now when it happens. My computer crashed at the same time my ghostwriter's computer crashed in a completely different state. So I saw this stuff going on. I knew some of it already, but that's kind of what made me come out, is actually seeing them do this against American citizens, not just me, my son, and members of my family. So now we know that the CIA has this program. People say, well, are they using it? I can tell you, yes, they are using it. And it is shocking now that we found out what they're doing. It's also shocking how incompetent the CIA was in leaving this stuff out in a off-site location where it was completely exploited. And even worse than that, now these capabilities, since they're out floating around there on the Internet, are in the hands of hackers and other people that could get in and attempt to bring down Microsoft, others, and even some companies. So it is just astounding what has happened. Getting back to the news media, which is an important one for me because it is supposed to be the fourth pillar of government, the real bastion of freedom, and the informer of the American people, and that is no longer the case. A prime example, just a high-level summary, we have seen Amazon now. They purchased the Washington Post. We now know that Amazon has entered into $600 million contract with the CIA. It owns the Washington Post. I had an experience with the Washington Post. It, in my view, gone all the way back to my career, it's probably the worst-kept secret in Washington that the Washington Post is connected directly to the CIA. If you remember Operation Mockingbird, where the CIA paid journalists to plant stories in the U.S. media, well, a lot of people think Mockingbird has gone away. The only part of Mockingbird that has gone away was the paid part. Reporters still can do it voluntarily today. And the Washington Post is a prime example. When I first came out to release my story, I went to the Washington Post to give them the first crack at the story. Well, I was to find out the Washington Post went straight to the CIA and reported the story to them, and then sat on it for 30 days until I finally contacted the New York Times and pitted the papers against each other, and it was published by the next morning with the information changed and deleted. So I've seen that personally. So the shadow government deep state, through finances, through executive control of corporations, through the contracts like Amazon's contract with the CIA, they are now manipulated and controlled. I'm not talking the major networks. They are now manipulated and controlled by the shadow government deep state. And they are planning articles many times that are favorable to the CIA. One conservative television program, you never, and even others, you never hear them dig in deep to these CIA scandals. They avoid them completely. As a matter of fact, you see a lot of positive reporting about the CIA despite the revelations that we've seen lately of them hacking into Senate computers and other things. So we're doing some interviews now on Bob Woodward, claimed he got into the hospital room of CIA Director William Casey and was the basis of his book Veil, The Secret Wars of the CIA. Well, I was there. I was in the hot seat outside of the CIA director's room. I was the only one that's been able to come out and say this. Bob Woodward never got in. It is an absolute fabrication. We find out Bob Woodward is directly connected to the Washington Post program. And what most people don't know is Bob Woodward was a former intelligence officer who had a top secret clearance through the Navy and connected into CIA programs. So, and people don't know these things. So the news media, tragically, is connected directly to this deep state that we're talking about, this shadow government, and they are being manipulated completely by it. And so we've lost the only informer of the American people. That's why I always say programs like yours and others, we have got to go to credible, vetted research, alternative news with these things, because that's the only way people, through your shows and others like yours, it's the only way people are going to get this information, because it is being withheld by the national media.
Final question for you. This came and went with no dialogue or thought. A few years ago, the United States government, through the National Security Agency and the CIA, working with the Mossad and Israeli intelligence, created malware that was so good and so sophisticated that it got into Iranian centrifuge machines, were able to vibrate them to a level where they would explode. Thousands exploded. And yet, when the Iranian scientists looked at their computers, it would show they were normal, so they thought they had a defect in their design. And that's how they were going to slow this down. Well, it was uncovered, and it took a long time, but a group of American IT experts discovered this malware, and then separately it came out that without telling the National Security Agency or the CIA, Israel had created a separate malware that was embedded in the system and would have no trail back out, and that was to turn off all the electricity in Iran. Now, first, what would be the motive? Why would you turn off all the electricity in a country? Well, when you do, you're also turning off their capacity to defend themselves, all satellite feeds, everything stops. And that would allow a long-range bomber or a group of bombers to go in and drop nuclear bombs on all the Iranian facilities. You would have to do everything because Iran has one of the largest armies and their guerrilla and urban warfare armies. And they've been expecting to be attacked for a long time. It's been 224 years since Iran attacked anyone, by the way. So, but no one asked a question. What would have been the consequences to the world, to the Middle East, to the price of oil, if Israel had attacked Iran? Iran's already, you can bet, I'm going to hypothesize that they would realize that they were probably doing it in cooperation with Saudi Arabia that works closely with Iran, worked closely with Israel. So they would have their oil fields sabotaged. Kuwait, the United Arab Emirates, Qatar would also probably be sabotaged again by Iran. They're not going to go quietly. And then that's going to cause the Straits of Hormuz to be blocked. That's going to cause oil tankers not to go through there. That's going to cause overnight the price of oil to triple to probably $150 or more per gallon. It's going to cause the cost of gasoline to increase. That's going to cause an enormous firestorm that won't be able to put out. And yet not a word about any of this in the mainstream media. Not only that, but now Russia, Iran started hiring thousands of people to find any other malware and also to protect themselves. Now Russia got a hold of that material. China got a hold of it that didn't have it before, at least we don't think so. So why isn't anyone calling out Israel for its irresponsible foreign policies and for its spying programs that could have absolutely devastating and cataclysmic events if they went to war with Iran? Your thoughts?
Good points all, Gary. We know that Israel has got such a well-funded, large lobbying program in Washington. It's been said that they should have their own office in Congress, huge amounts of money going back and forth. And you're exactly right. Of course, Stuxnet, which got into the Iranian computer system, has gotten out. It is still out there infecting other things. They've completely lost control of it. And a general who came out to express his concern was fired, actually convicted of disseminating classified information for trying to raise that issue. This goes back to remember, we were talking about creating a boogeyman so that the shadow deep state government can continue its global control. So you create the Iranian boogeyman, and you just, all you do is put out that message, and you don't put out all the things that you just discussed, which are so critical, because when it's like dominoes. If Israel was to do that, the dominoes would fall, just like you so well described, and it would, without question, lead to World War III. it would be catastrophic, and yet no one is reporting on that. There's been no documentary out about that. The press has been completely silent about that. And of course, our government is never going to bring that out. It is very, very, very serious. And any country where you start saying you're going to invade and attack is going to build its defenses to defend itself when it's convinced that you're going to do that. So you're so right that this information is not getting out to people. People have got to be informed. Sadly, so many people sit in front of their television set and they think that what they're seeing on the major news is the truth, and it's not. So the goal, as I mentioned before, is to get this information out through news programs like yours and others and encourage your listeners to research these things on their own so people can get educated and start blowing the whistle on some of these things and standing up publicly with this information you and I just discussed and getting it out there where people can see it.
That's what we're trying to do, and that's why we invited you on the show today, Kevin. You did a good job. I want to thank you for the good work that you're doing, and we look forward to another conversation with you.
Thanks for having me, Gary, and thanks for what you're doing.
Kevin Shipp, S-H-I-P-P. You can Google him and see all the good work he's doing. He is one of those courageous former senior CIA officials who champions the public's interest, not the hidden hand of the deep state. I'm Gary Knoll. Thank you for listening and have a good day.
Mother, there's too many of you to cry.